When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Super Ghosts and Ghosts, un clásico llevado al tope de jugabilidad. Armas, escudos, armaduras y hasta una ola gigante. Es un superjuego más de Super Nintendo.
Oh, Super Nintendo.
Ah, we have another one with no ad in English.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, there's some Japanese commercials, but they didn't really work, you know. You try to do what you can with what you've got here on Play Retro, where we talk about old video games. I'm Scott Johnson, one of your hosts, and I forgot to write an intro, I was
so waiting, because it's like there's nothing after that part of the line in the show notes.
I thought I wrote the thing. So instead, I'll just say this. Goblins, ghouls and ghosts and goblins and gargoyles. You're a hard video game. Nothing dies when I try to kill it except me. Hey, I'm wearing armor now. Oh, I'm in my underwear. Take it away, Brian.
That's as good as anything that I wrote. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And everybody says this game is balls hard, but I am already at the final boss and it only took like 3 hours. I mean, sure, it was tough, but I think you guys are just too soft. And I'm done. The boss is dead. What's this now? This room is an illusion and is a trap devised by Satan. Yeah. Go ahead, dauntlessly, make rapid progress, you son of a... Fine. Let's do it again then. Hey, look, a treasure chest. Oh, hi, wizard. And now I'm a duck. You know what? Duck this game. Duck it very much. Two endings, Scott. I know. To the end and it's all a fake out.
Yeah, I know.
Ghouly ghosties.
Let me tell you how stupid that is, because you did all this extra work to create multiple endings for a game that no one finishes.
No one even gets past the first stage.
Because it's hard. It's so freaking hard. Forget about Super Meat Boy. Forget about Souls Likes. You haven't tasted hard gaming until you've played one of these ghouls and ghosts or goblins or gargoyles or one of these Capcom torture simulators, you know?
Yeah, and not only was it a Capcom game that was hard at the arcade, it had a filter through the NES, which is where a lot of people played this game on the NES. And we already know that it's NES hard. Jeebus, give us a break.
Yeah, give us a damned break. We'll get to what we're talking about in a minute. But first, let me tell you this. I started a project. I'm very excited about this. And I think Play Retro people will like it. For those who don't know, I dabble in, I have about half of what I do is art. Okay, I draw a lot.
Art.
A lot of comics,
another
cartoons,
half is fart.
Illustrations, that sort of stuff. A little bit of fart in there. For example, look at this right here. Perfect for this show. I just had these made, but I drew a little Bomberman sticker. Look at him being all Bomberman-y.
All Bomberman-y.
Oh, I'm going to put a bomb down and hopefully not blow myself up, he says.
Why am I not seeing it? Where's that?
Oh, I don't know. It's on, you don't see me.
Oh, it's on, okay, wait.
Yeah.
You must be lagging behind on the other side. I mean, I had to go into Zoom to look.
Oh, that's weird.
No.
Anyway, the point is, I like doing this sort of stuff, and I started a new mural project, great big large size mural project, where I am going to do a big giant combination of everything I can fit anyway, of nothing but classic game characters, enemies, objects from old games, things that are recognizable. So, you know, imagine, if you will, a little pixelated Mario, a little Zelda in there.
A little Zelda in your life.
In your life. Everything, kind of, you know, mostly 2D characters, but Yeah, I'm going to make a big old deal, and I'll
wait. So you're saying you're doing a mural? When I think of mural, I think of wall mural. Or well, what are you
it'll,
doing?
It'll
and where
be
are you
a
doing
print.
It?
It'll be a print, but it will be big and could go on your wall. Okay,
it could be as want big it as now.
Let's see. I don't know what size is it over there. At least 20 by 30 inches, maybe bigger, but like poster size.
Large. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'll bring progress to the show and let people know what's up. Kirby will be in there, of course.
Now you did like 50 game characters at one point in time or something. What was that thing? What was that project?
That was called What did I call? I don't remember what I called it. But yeah,
man, I was like, I followed you every day to get more of that. So I'm looking forward to this mural. I'm assuming you're going to do it like in parts.
Right. That will be the plan. Where is this? Yeah. I don't know where I put it. Well, anyway, you're right. I did do that. And that was a whole lot of fun. It was basically just, well, it was a similar thing. It was like my favorite characters, but some were modern, you know, like Master Chief was on there and sort of modern, I guess, but Kratos, that sort of thing.
Yes, but it was so good.
Anyway, the point is, the closer I get on that, I'll start showing it off to you guys. And then I did one other thing today that's kind of connected to the show. Not today, this week. You know that remake of the PS1 Pac-Man game? The name eludes me. Hold on. Pac-Man. The new one. They took the PS1 game and remastered, made a whole new version of it. Do you know what I'm talking about? They call it Repacked or something.
Pac-Pack?
Oh, I'm going to find the name. We talked about it on the show. Here it is. Oh, Pac-Man World Repack.
Oh, yeah. Pac-Man. Well, we were so excited about it when they finally got it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know what
about.
I'm talking about.
The one last year?
Right? 2022. You're right. Last year.
Okay. Yeah.
August. Oh, so in fact, exactly that almost. August 25th last year has been a year.
Mm-hmm.
It went on sale. Copy. Went on sale for, it's back up to full price, but it was $15. It's normally 30. So it's half off. Nice. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to grab this thing. I don't know if you can buy something. Play right a little here. Bit of stuff. I got a Steam Deck. I got a bed. What else do you need? So, and I had $15. So let's just get this damn game. So I did. I bought it. And I am happy to say that game's classic. It's so good. Like, of the era of 3D platformers, everyone goes, oh, yes, Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie or, you know, any number of great influential thing, but not enough people talk about this one. It's real good.
I got this on the GameCube.
Yeah.
Really good.
I didn't know they made a GameCube game. That's interesting.
I'm pretty sure this is what I got on the GameCube.
Okay. I thought it was PS...
I got Frogger playing right now, but yeah, I think that's on my on the system back there.
Because PS... Wait, I thought this was PS1 only. Sure, it's the same game.
Maybe not. Let's find out.
I think Pac-Man World is a... Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. I thought this was exclusive. Well, right now, I mean, the version I got is on Steam, obviously. I'm playing it on Steam Deck. But I didn't know it went back as far as the GameCube. Look, Brian's about to play it. Look at this. Look at him. Is it called Pac-Man
World?
Don't look at
my cheat.
Yeah, he's not cheating. Everything's
my
fine.
My Wii Flow that allows me to run GameCube games on the Wii after I rip them.
Wii Flow.
Pac-Man World 3.
Maybe
that's 3.
It's a sequel. That's what it is. Okay. Different deal. So there was a Pac-Man World 1, 2, and 3. Never played 2 or 3. I played 1 on the PlayStation 1. And it was great. It was a good time. And I can tell you, this is a great buy, especially on that price. It'll go on sale again. But very, very happy and pleased with it.
Are you pleased with your $15 from bed purchase?
I am. It was a good bed purchase. Hey, Brian, what are you doing with your
Scott.
Saturn this week? Some kind of Saturn news going down here.
Yeah, so I think the last time I saw... Okay, so you received a Saturn not that long ago.
I did.
So Sega Saturn, if you're not familiar with it, it's just the follow-up to the Master System Mega Drive and before the Dreamcast. Didn't get as much love as a lot of other systems. Scott got his, and I noticed that in his system, he had plugged into the back of it an action replay.
Yep.
And I've been meaning to get one. And finally this week, I went ahead and pulled the trigger. This is an action replay for Meg, and it allows you to do things like build in. It's got like game codes in it. It's got allow savings of the new game codes. It's got a 4 megabyte card or expansion. And one of the things this thing lets you do is take and play region games outside of the region you have. So I have a US Sega Saturn, and so I could play Japanese games. And that's important because this past week, when I was trying to figure out how I wanted to play this week's game, I wanted to grab the Capcom Generation Volume 2 Chronicles of Arthur, because that one had several versions that were arcade perfect. As a matter of fact, they were the arcade versions of Ghost or Ghouls and Ghost.
Really?
So that's cool. Yeah. So we're doing that. But I did just want to talk real quick because this always confuses people when they look at the Sega Saturn. The Sega Saturn, since this release, it has a CD tray on the top, and then right behind it sits a cart slot, like we all thought. And we was like, oh, that's because it's going to be backwards compatible with your Sega Genesis carts, and it is not. And I'm going to try to just hold this up and see if we can kind of see why that would never work. Because for one thing, the carts are a little different size, and there's a slot in between one. I've got an EA cart to kind of compare this to.
There's like a little tooth in the middle, a little
There's
space.
And there's also like it's a little shaped differently too on the outside, so it just wouldn't you wouldn't be able to plug a cart in there. But everybody, when they see the Sega Saturn, first thing they think is, oh, I could stick my carts in there, and then they take a cart and they go and it doesn't work.
Another weird Sega choice, by the way. Strange choice to do what they did there.
Just make it something totally a different size. Why you want to do that?
Instead of that, just make the damn thing compatible with the Genesis cartridges. That would have been awesome.
That would have been nice, but they
carry it forward, you idiots.
Nope. Dummies. That's right. Carry it forward. Now, as far as how my weekend went, I just got back from the mountains. I was up there with Brian Ibbett. You may, if you listen to our other podcasts like The Morning Stream or Film Sack, you know he is part of the trifecta.
He's in there,
or the quadfecta. So so he's all part of that. We got to hang out. I took the PS2 up there and we played some Dance Dance Revolution. Me and him right there had two mats and we danced it up and sweated like a couple old guys. It was awesome.
You got some video of this or no?
I didn't video it, but I don't know if anybody else did. If I had been on the outside, I certainly would have done that. And we also got a chance to play as a group, the Oregon Trail board game or card game.
Oh, how is that?
It was actually a lot of fun.
I've heard good things about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I it's just like the video game because you die of dysentery. And I think I was the first person to die.
Really?
And it was dysentery. I drew a card. Which was the Calamity cards. And yep, sure enough, I had dysentery, died right away.
I don't know how long in real life dysentery takes, but in the game, it's pretty quick. You're dead.
But Ibbett ended up making it. It was about a 30-minute game, and Ibbett did end up making it to the end, even though I think it broke an arm at some point in time, too. So,
yeah. Like you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
On your trip to Oregon, you got to take
Oregon.
That's awesome. Fun times there in North Carolina where you guys played.
Oh, yeah. And if you listen to TMS, you can get all the story about the bear that invaded my car and ate all my snacks, opened the door.
Opened your damn door.
Opened my door, took a crap in my seat. No, I'm just kidding.
Why didn't you all lock your doors at night? I don't know. There was multiple cars.
So the first night I got up there, I was hauling in a bunch of stuff. If you haven't heard the story, 27-inch CRT TV.
Yeah.
Stupid heavy. I brought a turntable, a tape cassette. I brought every retro thing I could think of, plus a bunch of stuff so we could have a couple of retro nights. And we did. And it was amazing. We did watch movies and we played games. And it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
But I was exhausted. Apparently, I didn't lock my door. I always lock my door. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't. And the bear said, hello. And he went, boom, he opened it, got right in there, ate all the stuff that he could find. Ate my Mentos chewing gum, spit that back out, all half chewed on my seat.
Yeah.
I'm like, you jerk, got his big, hairy, dirty, muddy butt print all in my chair.
Yeah.
So the next night, I locked it and turned the alarm on. Beep, beep. Yeah. And sure enough, we heard it again. That night, it was like, beep, 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 beep.
Oh, really?
Went off. Alarms going off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were back. They were like, I need some more of those snacks, man. Yeah. But not those Mentos. Those things were nasty. Arr.
Yeah, that's true. If they know how to open doors, they're not new to this. You know,
no, they're not. And come to find out, like, we was like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And then like people are like, yeah, it happens all the time. Well, then how about a little warning?
Yeah.
How about a little, hey, heads up.
Yeah. Let us know that the bears are a problem. That'd be cool.
Right. Let them know that Yogi and Boo Boo hang out around the picnic baskets. You know, just let me know.
Yeah.
A little heads up, please.
What if your emergency brake's been up a bear's butt? What would you do? How would you feel?
What could I do?
Nothing, I guess. You still gotta drive.
I just have to accept it that my car now has bear butt in it.
Yeah, bear butt. It's totally fine.
That's what you gotta do.
Butt that isn't yours, but bear nut. Bear butt nonetheless. Yes, he did what?
There was no damage except he did mess up my, I had taken a PlayStation shirt and you know, it was white, and he did step on that a couple of times. I'm pretty sure that's trash.
Well, it's kind of cool now. Now you got a shirt with like big old nasty.
If it was like cool, like bear prints, I'd be like, yeah, look at that. But no, it just looks like somebody took some red mud and smeared it all over my shirt.
Gross. That is gross. Well, speaking of gross, let's talk about the gross difficulty involved in this thing.
Shall we play a game?
Let's do it. Ghouls and ghosts and goblins and gargoyles and stuff. But we'll start with ghosts and goblins, all right? We'll start in the arcade. We'll start with the machine that decided that the best way to earn your quarters was to piss you off. Okay? That's what this game did. It sounded a bit like this. Yeah. Understands at the beginning of this game why he and his girlfriend are sitting out there and he's basically naked. He's laying there naked.
Yeah, that is disturbing, and that happens with all the ports, including the arcade. He is just sitting out there. Well, I guess it's hot, right? I mean, you're a knight and you got your armor and you're just having a picnic on the hill with Princess Prin. I guess I could see it. I think I would definitely wear some undergarments. I really don't. I can't even stand getting my hair pinched with my watch band. I can't imagine what's going on. Oh,
can you imagine any fold of skin getting caught in a crease of armor?
Jeebus. Yeah. Ow.
That's nobody's idea of a good time. and honestly, the game can feel like it's not a good time either. Although, once you get good at it, if you can get a little bit of decency at your skill level in this game, there's a great time to be had. All right, I'll admit that.
No, there's not. I'm not lying.
I'm saying there can be. It doesn't have to be. Maybe you don't want to invest the hours it takes to get good, as the kids say.
Get good, noobs.
I don't know if I would recommend this. Okay, of all the games we've done on the show and covered, this might be the one where I would just put the most warning out there and say, Just know what you're getting into. Otherwise, you're going to be real disappointed. Like, don't pay real money for this game because it's just going to make you mad. It's going to disappoint you. You're going to die a lot. And the people who play it online that are like speed running this thing, I watched some of that.
I am watching this bullshit right now that you have on screen.
Yeah.
And this guy is an expert because ain't nobody ever got through level one like that. This guy is an absolute hero.
No, he's not. This particular video is not speedrunning.
Oh my god, you see him just go vertical like that?
Oh, I know.
No one can
do that. It's bullcrap. You're absolutely right.
This is bullshit.
Everything about this is a lie, all right? Except that it's really happening. But what he's done is he has played this so many times, he's just memorized all the stupid shit that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm here to say that I'm glad a game like this exists for people who like this kind of video game punishment. I think that, you know, the popularity of Souls-likes now, these sort of deliberate, difficult mastery games, action games,
right?
They owe a lot to this kind of game, if not this game directly. And I think it's great they exist, but I am not the guy they're aiming for. I never really have.
You keep saying, and I've heard the comparison a lot, Souls-like, and I got to say, I get the comparison because this is also difficult. You would also get very frustrated. But this is difficult for a very different reason. This is difficult because the developer hates you. Okay? They want you to be miserable is what's going on. So Takura Fujiwara, when he was doing his little work, so you know, he was developing this game, and so they took it to an arcade and got a little look at see how people were playing this game. He would go back after watching people who successfully made it past an area, and he would close that hole. So he was always just trying to go back and close holes so that you could not last more than 2.5-3 minutes tops. Because that's the arcade goal.
But I find that to be annoying and abhorrent. Like, it makes me mad. And it makes me not want to play your game when I hear that, because what that tells me is that they're not there to impress me, but make a great experience. But what they somehow did,
right,
even though it was obvious that this was just meant to be a quarter sucker, is they made a game that is still, even in retrospect, like kind of weirdly compelling and interesting. And
the moment
hard to ignore.
The moment gameplay is very interesting because Okay, so it goes right up to the edge of impossible and then comes back one squeak.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even do it consistently. It just says, like 6 out of 10 times, you know, it's not totally impossible. Or maybe even less than that. I don't know what the ratio is. All I know is this. Like the little demon guy that's flying at you right now.
Right.
He's a little demon on wings. By the way, there's the Satan's after you in this game.
Yeah.
And so it truly is. You're going to go to hell after you get playing this game. But they come down at an angle this nearly impossible to avoid. Sometimes impossible to avoid if you're standing on the wrong pixel.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's more than just like Souls-like was just grueling. You know, it's hard and it's grueling and you're kind of underpowered. You're having to hit a whole lot. But if you take your time, it's hard, but it's not like this. This you can go along and you can memorize everything.
Well, what's the speed run record for this thing?
I think like 30, probably 30 minutes or something. I think I think this guy you're watching right now is probably the speed run champion of the world. And it's probably about 30 minutes. If I had to guess. It could probably be shorter.
Ghosts
than that,
and Goblins. Ghouls and
Now, it's the arcade, and you also got to look at a couple of things. This one gets complicated because you got speed runs for the first run through. This game does have a second run through. You get to the end of the first, and you have to burn it again.
Yeah.
It literally says, spoiler, here's a spoiler. Do you want to hear the console ending of how this goes? Do you want to hear it?
I kind of do. I don't think we're going to worry about spoilers here. It's fine.
No.
I'm never going to see it any other way. So
here's the deal. When you finish the game the first time around, you beat the big bad, and you think you're going to rescue Prin, the princess. It's kind of like when the first time you go, Princess Peach is another castle. Well, this time, even worse, you got to go back over the same exact map, with a little harder, with more, they're faster, a little harder, more of them. And you have to make sure that you have a particular weapon that you carry with you to the end, because if you don't have that weapon, you're not going to win.
You're not going to go.
Here's what it says after you think that you've beaten this game and it laughs at you. It says, congratulations. Now, I'm not making that up. I didn't.
You're not being racist. That's what it is.
What do they call it? The Japanese English version?
Whatever. But yeah. That's,
right. There's a reason why they say that. That's not being insulting.
No, not at all. I get it.
There's a way that English looks to way they translate it that looks weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
This story is happy end. Thank you, being the wise and Karager knight that you are, that you feel strong.
Karager.
Welling.
Yeah, Karager. Yeah.
Karager. You feel strength. I'm sorry. It is strength welling in your body.
Yeah.
Return to the starting point. No, not even the starting point. Return to starting point. Challenge again.
Now,
that's not to make fun of anybody's English understanding.
No, but you can't have a good time with bad translations. It's fine with me. I don't mind.
Yeah, that's just to say that is a poor translation, and there's no comfort.
Do you know the
hilarity of that translation? When you realize you got to do this stupid thing.
Yeah, look at it this way. Back in the day, boy, this character really did skip leg day.
He's
such a weirdo, knobby knee.
If you're not watching and you're not familiar with this game, and I was kind of surprised to find out that it was a couple people who told me, I'd never even heard of this game. You start out, you're a knight, you're wearing armor. One hit, you lose all your armor, and you're running around in your underwear.
Yep.
Hit again, and you're dead.
You can get your armor again.
Yes,
but it takes a while and it's a pain in the ass. And if you're naked, for me anyway, I may as well give up because I need that.
Right.
Armor.
Yeah. If you're naked, it's one shot. You're dead. If your armor is two shots and then you're dead.
Yeah, that is about right. What I was going to say, though, is that, localization wasn't a priority back then. Not only not a priority, every time you get a key, take a key for coming in. It's just an amazing line. But it wasn't a priority. These games are being developed in places that didn't speak English. So what are you going to do when it comes to America? Well, you're going to do the best you can with what you have. And sometimes that just meant a dude down the hall knew a little English.
And right.
Helped a little. You know, we didn't even have, you didn't have computers. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have all that. I mean, you had computers.
No.
But, you know, you didn't have an easy way to do any kind of.
You didn't have a Google Translate.
No. I mean, it's still an issue today for a lot of games. But back then it was a freaking nightmare. So.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't bother me. In fact, I love it. I wish it was all like this.
Well, we do love it now because now it's part of our childhood memories, right? It's nostalgic. It's
all your base belong to us kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's
Yeah, yeah. I don't make fun of anybody who can't do English. I can't do English.
No.
And I live here.
No, you cannot. By the way,
even I say stupid stuff.
So you mentioned it's a two loop system in the game. You got to go through it twice essentially to call it a run. And as rare as it is, there are a bunch of speed runs. The current record holder is in Japan, 14 minutes, 20 seconds for the arcade.
Nice.
That's a clean run, by the way, without any glitches or cheats or anything. That's just straight run through the game. That is pretty good, but also, you know, knowing that you can beat Mario Brothers 1 or Super Mario Brothers 1 in about 4 minutes, it just goes to tell you, even on a speed run, this game's hard.
And that's a good comparison because the Super Mario Brothers came out for the Famicom at the same time this was being released to the arcade. So this is very early on platforming, and we had a couple of directions that we could go in. Mm-hmm. And I am glad that the Mario went further ahead with platforming.
I mean, you could argue the Super Nintendo game, which we'll talk about soon, the Super game, is it's more forgiving just by the nature that it's on your console is the number one thing. You're not putting quarters in this thing. But, you know, they learned their lesson in not wanting to be just hideously hard. But it was still hard. That game's still hard. I played that this week. Yeah. It was still, you know, picking my teeth off the ground after I was done. It was hard.
And when I was doing these ports, I kind of ran through all the ports that I could, and I did play the arcade. The arcade by far is the winner. If you're wanting to play Ghosts and Goblins, and you have no nostalgia, I would definitely recommend playing the arcade because it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's responsive. It's going to give you the best chance for having a good experience and still feeling challenged. The runner up is the NES, just because it is pretty much, even though it does not look nearly as good, it's the arcade version. I mean, it's got all the same beats. It's a little harder because you got character flashing, and it kind of exposes something that was already kind of funky about this game, and that is your collisions, your sprite collisions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes you're like right on top of a character, and you're like, oh, how am I not dead? So you kind of almost stop moving, then you realize, oh, I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of weird, but it's not bad. I looked at the Commodore 16 version, which I have a Commodore 16 in my possessions. Reason why I was taking a look at it, I emulated it, but still, it was not good. It was bad. It was jank. It was you shouldn't try to run that on a Commodore 16. It is a stripped down Commodore 64. Don't do it. Yeah. But if you're looking for an easy experience for this, I would say that the Game Boy Color.
Is that the simple one? The easy one?
It is easier, even though. But they had to kind of do that because, you know, we've talked about Game Boy ports before. The screen is so much smaller and the sprites have to be so much larger to the environment. When you're playing a game where when an enemy enters the screen, they're suddenly like, you know, nose to nose with you. They adjusted the gameplay so that there's not as many characters on screen at a time. So if you learn the maps and it's still one to one, it still looks like on the Game Boy. So if you learned it on another one, you come here. You're going to be able to translate most of that stuff over, but just fewer characters. And so I found that one to be a little easier. I played that in bed while Scott was ordering Pac-Man World on the Steam.
You probably did. I actually was out of town when I did this. I was at a hotel, and this was a double test. It was like, how well is this internet going to pull down my 5 gigabyte file?
Right.
But also, I'd like to play this. And so I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about the next in the series. It's not like a straight through thing here, but we had like Ghouls and Ghosts in 88. There's a whole bunch of this, like ports and versions and whatever. This is 3 years later. And you're talking about, let's see, arcade, Genesis, ZX Spectrum, Master System. I'm guessing the winner here is arcade again. You're going to like that one the most, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this chat. We'll show you some stuff here. This is a comparison video. So this is pretty cool because, let's see, this first... Well, they don't say what this is. I assume this is probably NES. I don't think that's arcade. Anyway.
Which one are you looking at now? Yeah, that's the... No, I think that's actually like a is this Amstrad or something.
Here, let me play some audio. See if I can get an idea. This is way
back. Maybe it could be the Commodore 64. It's definitely one of the 8-bit computers, right? It's one of our 8-bit PC brothers.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Okay, here we go. This is Arcade 88. I think the arcade version looks awesome.
Oh, the, every time Capcom just sets the bar, yeah. And then the ports just kind of do the best they can.
Yeah, they do what they can. That was the deal. That's why everybody was like, ooh, you heard this game's coming to home? Yeah, but they always look like shit mm-hmm. compared to arcades. And then we started to have some parody in the 16-bit era, you know?
Yes, we did. A matter of fact, that Genesis version, 3 years later, by the way, that's when this story takes place. Once again, Princess Prin-Prin. By the way, I love that the Japanese do puns on names. I love when they do stuff like Prin-Prin, you know, it's short for princess.
Is that why they call her that? Prin-Prin, short for princess?
Yeah, a little cute, little adorable name.
Brian, that makes me want to carve my eye out and suck on it. That's horrible. I hate it.
Princess Prin-Prin.
Princess Prin-Prin isn't a terrible thing to have to hear. But
right.
It's a little more adult.
She gets
game.
Kidnapped at the beginning of every one of these. So yeah. She's always the victim.
This game always reminds me of what games do sometimes. They start out kind of intentionally or otherwise stylistically kind of silly looking. This has a more realistic vibe, you know, more serious, a more adult vibe.
If you look at Fujiwara's work at Capcom, he does this typically. He has these very cute characters that are kind of cartoonish, mm-hmm. but then, you know, balls hard freaking gameplay mechanics. So.
This carries that on. It's not easy.
Yeah, just carries that on. Yeah,
this game's there's no like, ooh, much simpler this time around. Thank you, guy who made games.
No, it actually, they add some levels of complexity, like with some things that are good and some things that are bad. Right now, he's fighting off these tornadoes and stuff. More natural environmental dangers this time. But you get a chance to get different armor. So right. this person who's playing right now, very smartly, was able to get to the golden armor, which allows you to use magic. And you see there's a magic bar down at the bottom that illustrates how much of the magic.
Yeah, and it's different with each type. It also has one less stage than the previous game, I think.
Right. The first one had 6. This one only has 5. And it's more playable, but it's still pretty darn hard.
It's really hard, but you got a double jump.
Double jump is great. You got you can shoot up this time. You can only shoot left and right the first time, right?
Yep, that is correct. Oh, there's that, by the way, see this guy is fighting right now, this boss?
Yeah, demon. What's the way they call those demon mask things?
Oh, it's basically so our art this week is Brian as the brave knight, and then me as this boss, basically.
That's it, that's the one, that's you. I love it. That's Man, look at that.
But anyway, the game is also on the Amiga, which we're now going to see a little bit of video for. And that version looked pretty good from, you know, it was an Amiga. But
yeah, I think the Amiga was a very decent port. I liked it.
Yeah, that's all right. I didn't play it in this room.
Once again,
but
8-bit.
I saw some video. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's 8-bit, right? Is it 16-bit?
It's 8-bit.
Amiga version should have been 8-bit.
Well, Amiga had a fancy sound chip, but I think video
fancy
wise,
and it didn't have a, was it one of the first, I can't remember. I need to get an Amiga in my hands so I can tell all the things.
I just remember Amiga being talked about by all the people who had one, and I never did. I just remember being, man, I'm really missing out on this.
Yeah, I found I want to get an A500, which is kind of like the stripped down version, I think, but that's the one that a lot of people had.
Is that the mini? No, there's a mini.
I have the mini A500, which is gorgeous. And I would love to get the real deal of that. It's on my list.
Oh my gosh, the way it did that electrical attack is real stupid. Look at that.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I kind of like it. It's pretty stupid. And you get some slowdown here too as well. But got these guillotines that you have to kind of, you got to navigate through. It's like, yeah, geez, want to throw something else in there. But it did remind me of Gex. So yeah. I felt like, I was seeing a lot in Gex, what I saw here. Just as a little background of my experience with this game, I never played, I don't even think I ever saw Ghosts and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghost at the arcade, my local arcade. I don't remember it.
Really?
Or either that or I just totally ignored it. Mm. My experience didn't start until Super Ghouls and Ghost on the Super NES.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had it. And then the next experience was the one that was Super Ghouls and Ghost. I mean, sorry, Ghouls and Ghost, which is the second one on the Genesis. But that was later on. I didn't get it when it came out in, 88 or whatever.
Sure.
So those are my only two real experiences. And I thought I was lagging behind, but I was really amazed this past week.
Their naming convention. Their naming convention sucks. They shouldn't have gone ghosts and ghouls. No, ghosts and goblins to ghouls and ghosts, and then gargoyles. There's a bunch of other stuff later, but it's just it's confusing. I could see
it is confusing. It's very hard to if you just ask somebody on the street, if you said, "Well, name the ghosts and goblins series in order,"
ghosts and goblins 1, 2, and 3,
right?
Like everybody else. The other thing I was going to say, so as far as my order goes, I played the arcade version first of the first game. Not much of it, because again, that game was brutal. And then I don't think I played it again until Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which was what year was that? 91 or something?
91. And I think most of the people I've talked to, that was their experience was started at Super Ghouls and Ghosts. But maybe it's because of the age group I'm in, or it might just been the popularity of it. I hope that's what it is.
Yeah.
What was your go-to? So all these games kind of play somewhat the same. Usually in the first couple of levels, you go left to right, do a little bit of platforming, but mostly it's kind of like a run and gun almost. Mm-hmm. And then as you get further in, you'll usually enter into a vertical stage where you'll do more vertical platforming. Mm-hmm. So that first level, are you more of a just run as fast as you can? Because you don't have to kill everything along the way.
No, you
can
don't.
Totally avoid stuff if you want to. Or are you like a every inch of ground made is your plan?
It's funny you say that, because most games I'm every inch of ground. Explore and loot everything is my usual vibe.
Right.
In this game, no. In this game, I'm like, get me from A to B, mm-hmm. to C to D to F, all the way down to freaking Z as fast as I can get there. Because I'm on literally my own dime here, or quarter, maybe. And I don't have time to go get pickups when I know I'm going to die if I dink around too much. So I'm just going for it usually.
Right. And I'm usually not thinking of that. I'm usually not thinking about picking up everything, but I am thinking about just moving a little bit, watching who's popping up, making sure that my feet are in the right spot. Because this also, there's a timer.
Yeah.
And I think the first one, I don't think you can extend your time, but it's usually like a minute or 2 minutes or something like that. I think it starts at 2 minutes. I think the time only extends when
you get to the stage. So when you get to the end of the stage, if you beat it in the time they gave you, there's no little clocks to pick up to make it longer. You just start the next stage and have a new timer for the next stage. And that's as good as it gets. I hate timers, by the way.
I do too. You know, I hate me some timers, but they're a little more giving in Ghouls and Ghosts. The second one.
They're not as bad.
You have pickups where you have characters you can pick up, little stone statues and stuff that you can pick up that will, some of them will give you, a little boost in time. Some of them will actually is a bad thing. We hadn't even talked about getting transformed. I talked about it in my intro. In the first one, I think you get transformed. If you shoot a tombstone like 15 times, a wizard will come out. Or maybe it's not a wizard. It's a bird of some sort. And he'll curse you to hop along as a frog for like 10 seconds or
none
something.
None of this stuff was obvious back then. It felt like those were secrets nobody shared. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It was I kind of knew it. I didn't either remember it or I didn't know it. And when I was shooting the tombstones, like, oh, they're sparkling. This probably means if I do this enough time, something's going to happen. And sure enough, something happened. Yeah. Turned me into a frog. I laughed, hopped along a little bit. And I thought, hey, that hopping looks like it's a little bit faster than my run, because this knight runs like a goober, right?
Well, that's the question. Is like this Ku-op. Benefit? Do these benefit you? Are they like power-ups when you're a frog?
Well, you can't shoot. But you can jump. So I guess if part of your strategy, I think it's going to be up to the individual player. I feel like I can jump higher, and I feel like my hitbox is smaller when I'm a frog.
Yeah, that's true.
That just could be all in my mind.
Possibly, but I'm guessing. Well, actually, I guess I don't know either. Maybe not.
Right. I don't know.
They're going to make you a little frog that's like a third the height of your dude. You'd think it'd be a smaller hitbox, maybe not.
You would think so, but I don't know. It just could be just all in my mind. But it felt like a bonus to me, so sometimes I would do it so I could get past it. But it doesn't matter, because when you go against some of those characters, they just jump at you, and you have zero time to react. They just come flying at you, and there's no timing involved. You can't. It's just like you're dead. You're dead. Well,
the nice thing about the second game is you could shoot up, which is cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big fan of that. I like a shooter, or a run and gun shooter, where my gun is not locked in four positions. I really like to be able to move around. And that was kind of a new concept back then. By the way, this right here is the NES. I think the NES version. Actually, no, this is still Amiga, I think.
Okay. I'm going to say that's either that or the Master System. No, it couldn't be the Master System. I would think it's the Amiga. I'm pretty sure the Amiga is a 16-bit. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I don't know, like I remember it being a 16-bit.
Oh, this one's pretty wild. This is Genesis. I like the Genesis version. This is the one I played this week.
Oh, it's in very, very, very small writing. You can see it.
Oh, is it down there?
I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Well, yeah. It's very small.
Yeah, this is Genesis here. This is the one I played this week, and I liked this version of the sequel quite a bit. It just felt fast and tight, you know?
We've talked about it a million times. We'll talk about it again here. Sega Genesis is great at drawing a lot of sprites. No slowdown. We have slowdown in the NES version of these games, as well as even into Super Ghouls and Ghosts. There's a slowdown. At first, I thought it was my emulation, but when I played it on my real SNES with the real cart, there were still slowdowns, not on your Genesis. That thing is fast. The sprite draws.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Sounds terrible, but it's good.
Sound is terrible. The SNES whoops up on the Genesis for sound.
Oh, yeah. Always, though, right? Always does.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's play a little bit of that before we talk about this this next one. Here we go. Here's some sound from your SNES.
Come in.
Here we get some fighting. I mean, you know, you can tell you're listening to a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah,
but superior to it's teams to be over its competition. This is the game that I think most people think of when they play Super Ghosts. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, 1991 SNES. This is the game that I feel like certainly extended the IP for a longer time. Otherwise, about now you'd start forgetting this thing exists, you know?
And at first I thought, this is just Ghouls and Ghosts. It's just the SNES version, but it's literally another sequel. And this is, it's pretty much only...
Oh, it's a whole new game,
on
right?
Like, Nintendo. Yes, it's a whole new game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still the same gameplay for the most part, but it's a total new game.
Yeah, it's new levels. New maps. New levels. Same old prin bullshit, but it's at least you know, doing something new the whole time. You don't start in the same places or anything.
My favorite part is the changing landscape, especially in the beginning where the land like rises and sinks and kind of forces you to go to different paths and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very smart, very clever.
Yeah, it's really cool. And graphically it's good. I don't think it's as speedy as the Genesis version of 2.
Correct.
But they also weren't really going for that.
Oh, this reminds me of that game, that board game I just played this past weekend with those towers dropping skulls. We played Return to Dark Tower.
Oh, yeah, the Return to Dark Tower. I heard that's awesome.
God, it's so good, dude. Yeah. So good.
Problem is, they don't sell them retail. It was only Kickstarter rewards. And if you had one, you spent $500 or whatever the hell it was.
Yes. I think you'd get away with as little as two something, but to get with all the really cool stuff like we played, the neoprene mat and the little tokens and stuff. Oh, mm-hmm. So freaking sweet.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
This is the... damn, that scared me, that guy, that clam. this is a game
that
I think...
That clam almost get you?
Yeah, that clam almost got me. I like this game quite a bit, and probably of all of these that I... You know, if you said, hey, Scott, are you going to spend any more time with us after you guys cover it? This might be the one I'd do.
Yeah, double jumping. You got some shield action. Once again, we got our armor upgrades and stuff. Like you said, still prin, still two run-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
Seven levels, so a little more levels this time. Alternate paths, which I appreciate, making it a little different since you'll have to go the same route each time.
Right.
Ain't nothing worse than having to turn the car around and drive back the exact same way you came. Don't like that at all.
I don't like it in life. I don't like it in video games.
Right. Don't care for it. At least give me some options.
Yeah.
Let me turn down a different road.
Yeah. It's interesting. I know that there were some attempts to bring all this back in 3D in the PlayStation era, GameCube, PS2.
Those games were the not Maximo gonna... series, or is that what you talked about?
Yeah, that, but also there's like, even last year, there was a new game called, it was basically a remake.
Yeah, The Resurrection, I believe it is.
Something, Rebirth,
Ghouls
and like that.
Yeah, Ghouls, yeah, I think it was Resurrection, because I said, Correction.
Erection.
That's how I remember stuff.
I know how you remember things. But yeah,
these
like...
giant bosses, though, man.
Oh, this huge bird. Beautiful. This bird's awesome. Yeah. I don't know how that is, that new thing. I didn't even know it existed till we started doing research for this.
Me either. I did not know at all until we did research, and it had mixed reviews. I didn't look to see why they were mixed reviews. But you know, what you gonna do? There's still so many ways to play this still. I don't know if I would even bother with a new one, but maybe I will. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm curious about it. I don't want to go spend $19 on it, but I'm curious.
I can't be spending now $15 from bid to get Pac-Man.
Oh, hell yeah.
But
hell yeah.
19?
Well, that Pac-Man game's sitting currently at an overwhelmingly positive review over on Steam.
So that's a big difference because, that this other one is mixed at best.
Yeah, I think it's probably, I'll tell you this, the hardcore dyed in the wool ghouls and ghost people, don't mess with them.
Dude.
They're pissed. They're not pissed. They're touchy. They're always ready. They're about ready to explode any time now.
Can you blame them? I mean, geez, they've been playing the same game for 30 years.
I know.
40 years.
They finally got to loop 2 after all these years.
Yeah.
They're pretty hardcore. Now, let's dive over into some spinoffs. That did happen. For example, Gargoyle's Quest, 1991 Game Boy Color. Didn't you tell me you thought this was the one that was... someone else. I talked to somebody about this.
Talked to somebody else because I had never even, I didn't know anything about
spin-offs
at all.
Did you play this one at all? Did you give it?
I played Quest, which was 91 on the Game Boy Color, and then Quest 2, which was on the Game Boy Color. Didn't try the NES version. I played this on the AmberNick RG35XXs that we have. Mm-hmm. And the first one was okay. It's kind of neat because you can, you're playing as the gargoyle this from this other series. He's the spinoff character.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a little platforming. You can jump on walls and you kind of hang there like a gargoyle would,
which is
pretty cool. And you just, you know, you're fighting as the bad guy, as the good guy, you know, so everything is the script has been flipped, but it's still platforming, still kind of brutal, not nearly as brutal is the other way around.
No, not as hard. Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it, as you can see in this video, there's some real some real frame flash stuff going on.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah,
hate
which it. Can get very confusing. Yeah. It wasn't nearly as bad in the next one in Quest 2, but you're right, in this one it had a lot of the flashing. Best if you could play the second one on the NES, that would probably be the best way to play it.
Yeah.
If I was to take a stab at this.
Do we know how these sell? Did these sell okay? I don't know how these did.
The Gargoyle Quest, of course, not nearly as popular as the Ghouls and Ghosts, but I think it did okay. Hey, it facilitated a sequel.
Mm.
I think that says something, right?
Mm-hmm. I wonder what these would be today. I was thinking this last night. If Capcom... you know, they're not opposed to reviving their own series.
Right.
What would they do here? Would they make a proper 2.5D, you know, attempt at it? Or would they do, I guess last year, we know what they did last year.
Right.
But what could they do to really bring this thing back in the way that they tried to bring back other franchises? And I'm honestly kind of at a loss. I don't know. I don't want like a third person game. I don't want a first person game. I don't know what I want from this series. I think maybe I'm good with them just not making new ones. It's fine.
I think if they want to make an updated, you know, with updated graphics or something, even then these graphics are so charming. I just can't see how you could really much improve, especially on the arcade stuff. Now you could remake an NES version, but then it would just like the arcade version. So what's the point of that?
Yeah. Why are you doing that anyway? I guess, you know what? A remastered, completely redone sort of widescreen pixel attempt.
Yes.
I could maybe be down with that. But this thing they made last year is not that. It's weird. It's like looks like paper cutouts or something.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, it was a you know, an attempt.
Let's see if I can find that actually. Because I think that's just, what was the, hold on. Ghouls.
Might be reason why I didn't review very well too. Because it's just, you know, where do you go with this? I mean, it's just... its main charm is just being nearly impossible. I mean, it's definitely not, you know, you're not playing it for Arthur. I mean, how deep does that character get? Not very. You're not playing it for Princess Prin. We never really dug into any kind of story. The Gargoyle's Quest has a little more RPG-ish type of interaction where you're doing some overworld stuff, talking to characters and that kind of stuff, a little deeper story. I think maybe Gargoyle's Quest will probably have a better chance. But once again, like, look, looks like the Flash animation, looks like the Q-Wop stuff, that it looks even more like that.
It does. It's almost like papercraft in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah. It looks kind of cool. I kind of like how it looks, but I just don't know. I don't know either.
I'm really torn. All I've done is see it, so I can't say because I haven't played it. But
yeah,
there's something about this that looks a little cool and then also cheap. I don't know. I can't explain
it. Yes. And even the first one looked kind of cheap, but it's cheap in a retro kind of way, whereas this just looks cheap. It looks like a phone game or something.
Yeah, like somebody like something you don't want to put
real money into.
Yeah, I don't know how.
But
to
even saying that's insulting because a lot of work probably went into this game. It's probably a pretty smart game.
Oh, it might be. It doesn't matter though. Like if your impression is whatever it is, it's like that's their problem. Although the reviews are mostly about gameplay and him running too slow, I've noticed.
Oh, that's funny because that's kind of his thing. He's running, that character right there is running at the exact speed that you would expect. Now, if those people are annoyed by that, then they need to get the Master System version of, I believe it's the Ghouls and Ghost. Mm. The Master System version is much easier. And when you get your some of your upgrades and your weapons and your suit, your armor, you go faster. You can go much faster.
So what happened?
I think
what
that's
happened
exclusive
there?
To the Master System.
Why is the Master System that way?
The people who did the Master System port said, bump this. This is unplayable. And so they made it more playable.
I love that.
Yeah. And I rated that as the easiest experience. If you're looking for Ghouls and Ghosts, if you can get a Master System version, that's the way to go. Even though the arcade looks the best, plays the best, is most responsive, the Sega Genesis, definitely the runner-up, still lots of fun, very fast, really good arcade port. And then the easiest is just the Master System. They just took a total different direction with how you play.
I have to check that one out. I did not play that one this week. So
yeah, I played a little bit of it. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I see where you're going.
You can also get this in Capcom Generations Volume 2. There's something called Chronicles of Arthur, or that's the whole collection, I guess.
That it's got several games on it, but the Chronicles of Arthur.
Yeah,
it's so got
PS1 or a Saturn. These are Japan only, though, right? And only Japan, I think.
The PlayStation version was Japan and Europe, and then the Sega Saturn was Japan only. It's the reason why I picked up the Sega Saturn Action Replay so that I could do some imports. I looked at picking this up as an import from Japan, so.
And I do think it is Maximo I'm thinking of on the 3D thing. They did was Maximo...
That's some of people's first experience with the series, is the Maximo series.
That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of that, and I'm thinking I didn't like that. I think I played that back in the day and thought I didn't like it, but maybe I...
Right.
I might be thinking of something else. Capcom
I think
had
if you
a,
played the. I think if you played the first ones, and then you went in here knowing the connection, I think you might be... kind of disappointed, but yeah. I think if you just never played it and just it was just a game,
yeah,
I think you might have liked it.
And I think if they were trying to modernize something today, it might look a little like this,
right?
Obviously higher res, more effects, all the stuff we do today, but it would be a third person behind the shoulder, run around, slash stuff, open up chests, all that kind of bullshit.
Right
By the way, Sea of Stars, which just came out. Yeah. I meant to tell you about that. So we've talked about Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross and Chrono, what's the other one? Chrono Trainer, whatever the hell it is. Anyway, that series, renowned and people love them and everything. This Sea of Stars game is an indie game made by a team from France, I believe, where they took some of the concepts and ideas and storytelling from that game and some of the combat from that game, as well as the Mario, like Paper Mario and Mario RPG combat, like timing combat, and that kind of stuff, and made this game. And dude, it's retro as hell. It's, all pixelated and stuff. Beautiful game. So far it is. Look, for a year that's had some of the best games ever made, Sea of Stars is already on my short list for best game.
Nice. Truly nice. Good. I haven't checked it out yet, so
I think
it's
you'd
on
like
my
it.
List.
I got it for $30 on Steam. It's also on Game Pass and PlayStation Plus, so you don't have to buy it if you don't wanna. Well, there you go. Those are the games. And
I went through the manuals and all these too, by the way.
Yeah, no, this is one thing I want to talk about, because there is always this thing like, if you're, I don't know, Sega, your mascot is Sonic. If you're Sony for a while, it was Crash Bandicoot, and maybe later it was other stuff. Today, I'd argue like God of War, Kratos is probably their mascot. I don't know who is.
Right.
It's the same with Nintendo, obviously Mario, right? Even the companies that don't have a big platform like a console to play, you know, that they sell or whatever, they still kind of have mascots. You might say to yourself, well, wait a minute, who's Capcom's? Is it Ryu from Street Fighter? No, it's not. Is it,
why not?
I don't know, a million other characters. One of those not Dragon Eater. What are they called? I can't think of those. They're very popular. Anyway.
Oh, they're very popular. Everybody likes the Dragon Eaters.
They got all these really popular mascot or characters that could be mascots, even just on the Street Fighter lineup alone. But you'd be wrong. It's Captain Commando, and he's all over these manuals, and that is weird to me. That he's not
really
a playable dude, right? He's just Was there ever a Captain Commando game?
There was Captain Commando. I don't think it was a game. Didn't he make an appearance on some cartoons or some things? I believe.
Can't remember. There was a game. Hold on.
Was there a game?
There was a 1991 futuristic side-scrolling beat 'em up, published by Capcom. Okay, so Captain Commando exists. I never played this. Existed in a game, arcade, later NES, PlayStation, Super NES.
Oh God, we're gonna have to have a whole episode on Captain Commando so I can.
Now we need to do that so we can actually play it. But that dude showed up in all the other content as like your little tutorial man.
Yeah, it's weird. He's on the front of the manual for out of all the things to be on the manual for, it's on the freaking cover here. Why would you have your Captain Commando on the front of your Ghouls and Ghosts?
It's weird because they were trying to force a mascot down our throats that we didn't really know or understand. Maybe some people did. I shouldn't say this because neither of us have had experience with Captain Commando. Maybe that's an amazing game. I don't know.
That's the reason why we got to do one. We got to do it.
Point is, though, like, I guess you can get that now on Capcom Classics Collection Volume 2 for... Capcom Beat 'em Up Bundle for the Switch. That's a thing you can do right this minute. Sega CD version was canceled. 64DD was canceled. There's a few versions that were canceled. But it just seems weird, given all the choices they had for who could be a mascot for that company, and they settle on that. It's just so weird to me. But whatever. I guess, you know, you can't have... Imagine Ryu from...
What was it called again?
Captain Commando is the game.
No, it was the collection.
Oh, let's see here. Sorry. This one for the Switch is called Capcom Beat 'em Up Bundle. Oh. It was on the PlayStation 4, Switch, Xbox One, and Windows in 2018. That's when that came out.
I have something called Capcom Classics Collection Volume 2 for the PlayStation 2.
That might work. See. That one is...
Oh, no. Look at that. It's got Captain Commando on it.
Dude, you got to play that.
I have it in my hands. Look at that.
Play it. Not now, but when you can.
No. And I actually ordered a couple of more classics collections. These things, the PlayStation 2, man. I'm telling you,
their collection stuff, 2 so good. Yep.
It's still so affordable to get one of these. Yep. You can get the real hardware on a PlayStation 2. And there's so many great arcade collections. And a lot of them end up having like bonus features and interviews with the developers and things. And this is my preferred way to play some of these classic arcade games.
They put out a lot of those really back then, and they were great. They were very well done. We should do a whole episode on best mascots.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Best mascots.
Either platform mascots or publishers wanted to have a mascot. I don't know if there's enough meat there, but we'll talk. We'll think about it. It could be interesting.
We did one, didn't we? Did we do one on best mascot platformer or something like that at one point in time? I can't
remember. Did we? I don't know. Dude.
Look at us. We're already at episode 84, man.
It's a lot of episodes. 84 video games. That's like a whole Game Crazy or a Blockbuster wall, you know? That's
yeah,
a lot.
Look at that.
Yeah. Think of that. Somebody should make that. You know what? Taz in our community, he should make a whole graphical wall of the games we've covered. I'm just kidding, Taz. You have enough to do. Don't worry about it. I'm teasing. You're seeing this game here on the video. This looks like a game I've never seen. I don't know anything right. about Captain Commando at all. I don't know how I've missed this. This seems nuts to me. Because look at him. He's Commando. He's Captain.
I see that. He is. He's the Captain. He's the Commando. He's got a big overworld map.
Yep. He's doing Commando stuff. Look at these guys with knives. Oh, these guys are ripped off right from Streets of Rage. Weird.
Oh, yeah. Look how fast he runs. No complaints there about his running.
He's a mover. And a
he
shaker.
Is a mover and a shaker. Yeah. Look at that.
Can't give him credit where he.
I think he's got some kind of bionics.
I mean, I think so too. Look at his arms. He's got big old pipes hanging off of him. Got metal boots and gloves and gauntlets.
He's so 90s. I guess I got to get into this.
Look at these half naked ladies after him. This looks like fun.
I love how you followed that up with half naked ladies. Ooh, this looks like
this
fun.
Looks like a good time.
I like it a lot.
But it also just looks like Final Fight, so I'm not sure what the value of this game is. But
right.
Anyway.
I'm looking for the cartoon now. There's got to be a cartoon, right? There's a cartoon. There's a 90s cartoon.
Is there always a cartoon?
It's got to be a cartoon, right? Maybe not.
Let me see. I've got a thing.
I don't see one, but I see like some fan-made things, but I don't see any. There was a comic book, it looks like.
I'm looking here. Yeah, there was a comic book, Legacy. Blah, 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 blah. There's some.
I can't wait for everybody to email us or send us a text or whatever next week and go, God, you guys, how do y'all not know about Captain Commando? He's like done everything.
Oh, he's in Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Namco. So he's in those fighting games, SNK versus right. Capcom. He's a feature in there. But other than that, okay, November 91 issue of Sinclair User, which I don't know what even that is, gave the shared award for games most likely to save the universe as one of the best superhero games, along with Spider-Man the video game and Captain America the Avengers. So it was well thought of. People liked
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Famitsu gave it a... It's not here. Never mind. Don't say it. Anyway, I can't find a cartoon. But if anyone can,
I can't find anything either. Can. And now I'm reading something that says 80 years of the greatest superheroes, Captain Commando, Golden Age Archives. I don't know what this is. Ooh, comics.
Look at this huge piece of meat he can eat if he's not feeling good. Oh, and there's like a zing.
Oh, is that how he powers up so he can
live
deal
longer?
Deal with the frog.
Oh, and this game, man. This game supported the arcade game anyway, supported four players. So it was one of those big ones. Yeah, look, he ate that big ham with the bone sticking out of it.
Ham.
Big bone ham. All right. There's your look at all
the guy is bone in. It oh, is, speaking of that, it is what bone you in. I never talk about it though, but there's one villain or one bad guy in these games, especially in Ghosts and Goblins. I think that's the one they show up in the most. It's the ghost. They look like somebody took a pork loin and wrapped them in something. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They look like a burrito with a bone sticking out of it.
I kind of hate those guys.
Yeah. There's some interesting character design in that game.
Yeah.
But if you're playing it at home, let us know what your tricks are to beat it, because that game's hard as shit.
Hard.
All right, we're doing this.
Destroy it.
Guess our game. Time to play a little audio. We both have three questions we can ask. We give some hints here and there. The person doing the giving the hints can hint as much as they want, actually. There's no rules in that. Comes to that. But Brian and I can only ask up to three questions. And no cheating, no looking at the chat. Chat, you shut your mouth. Just kidding. The chat can participate, but we're just not going to look at it.
Shut your mouth. Yeah, this is a part of the show where we interact with the chat room because they're really good.
They're very smart at this, but we don't look at them until we're wrong or right or whatever.
Right.
So here we go. I'm going to play mine first. Here's some audio. Here's your hint. 1999 Nintendo 64.
Oh, Nintendo 64. Okay, give it to me.
Here it is. It should. I'll give you an unasked for hint. It's a very popular game. I'll say that.
Is this a first party game? You said N64, right?
Yeah, 99. It is first party though. Nintendo published it.
All right, so it's a Nintendo thing, right? All right.
Yep.
Is there any fighting in this one? You get some fightings?
Yes, I'll say there is some fighting in this game.
I don't like how you said that.
Why?
Feels what? Like it's not the primary purpose of the game.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to give it away, but
right.
There is technically fighting in the game.
No, technically fighting. It makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, well, it's Mario Kart. Technically, I guess they're fighting.
They're fighting with their cars. Car fight. Any ideas? Any other questions? Yeah, but that's one down.
Well, I mean, it's got all that. It's just got so much in your face. It feels like a Smash Brothers kind of thing.
Oh, you bastard. You got it. It's Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers, yeah.
It's the first Smash Brothers. The only part of the audio I cut out was the guy that goes, Smash Brothers!
Oh, yeah, that would definitely have given it away.
Yeah. The intro to that original game is an ugly mess, by the way. Ugly,
right.
Terrible, nasty, fart on a piece of toast mess. It's not.
But I love it so much.
I understand, and why you would. You would rightly love it. But it's
I
ugly.
Love my... I got Smash Brothers controllers for my GameCube.
Oh, you did you? Like the
GameCube
controllers? They're all branded? Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're all branded and stuff.
You are a fancy boy.
I got three.
Nice.
Because I dreamed that one day my kids would come over and play it with me.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
I have one controller that I've used a lot.
Oh, boy. I know how that can be.
And the other two have never been
played ever. Cyrenex in the chat got it right first, so grats there, Cyrenex. You did it.
Cyrenex got it right. Very good.
Brian, what are my hints? What do I got from you?
Let's see. The year is a few years before. Is 12 years earlier, 1987. I went back to the arcade.
Mm. Okay, let's see what the arcade had to offer in 1987. Choplifter. This isn't really Choplifter, is it?
No, it's okay. Not. I thought about it, though. I was like, oh, I do Choplifter. I'm like, nah.
That sounds like a helicopter.
I saw this. This is the arcade version, but the reason why I saw this is I was going to pick it up. This is a free hint. I was going to pick up on the Master System. And so yeah, I was like, okay.
Shit. Sorry, just toss something. Side scroll or top down scroll, you know what I mean, like
right. Oddly it kind of does a little bit of both. Yeah, it's an interesting, the arcade looks really good. I'm kind of interested in it, but it's mostly third person. But there are parts where there's a little side scrolly parts and stuff.
Okay, let me hear some of this.
Or top down, I think it is.
It's got good sound for an 87 game.
Like I said, it is the arcade.
All right, I'm going to try a couple of them. I'll just throw these out.
All right.
Is it... I remember playing it. My dad had this game in the arcade he ran called Twin Cobra. Is that it?
Ooh, that's a really good one. No, it's not Twin
that's
Cobra.
That's not it. Okay.
No.
That was released around then.
Right. It's very close, though. It's in that vein.
Is it... the other one we had around then was a game called Thunderblade.
Ding, ding, ding,
is that
ding.
It? It's Thunderblade?
Is Thunderblade. Based on, kind of based on that Blue Thunder
was
series.
It was like a little ripoff.
Ripoff of that. It's a Sega. It's a Sega joint.
That's what I thought. So I thought that game was, I guess it wasn't. It was my dad had it. But we had an arcade. We had a console version of that too, though, I think.
Right.
I don't know what, though, it was on. Maybe Genesis? Maybe later?
Probably gonna just I like I said, I was looking at it on the Master System. I don't see where it ever made it to the Genesis, but it was on the Master System for sure. It looked really good on the Master System.
Oh, here we go.
In my opinion,
I found some stuff. Third person shoot 'em up video game released by Sega for arcades in 87. Mm. Oh, 87. That's what you said. players control a helicopter, destroy enemies. Let's see. This game's released as a standard stand-up arcade cabinet with force feedback as the joystick vibrates. Let's see. Helicopter-shaped sit-down model was released later. Let's see. Oh, it used a lot of the same setup as a Space Harrier Afterburner and actual Blue Thunder in 83. Oh, no, it says it was based on, just like you said, based on Blue Thunder.
Yeah, just like the words I said. Super Thunder Blade was released exclusively for the Sega Genesis.
That's what I'm thinking of. Super Thunder Blade.
Thunder Blade.
You know what? That was a cool game, man.
Yeah, it was.
How did it review? Was it just me that liked it?
I thought it was really cool. When I looked at the arcade version, because like I said, I'd seen somebody had recommended that one for the Master System, and I went back and looked at the arcade version. I'm like, shit, this looks good.
Was it on rails? It was on rails, kind of.
Yeah, it was a rail shooter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most of
the similar kind of. The ZX port did really well. The PC version, not very popular. Mm. The Master System did very well, rated. The Commodore 64 and Atari ST varied. Mm. The arcade, very positive. People love the arcade version. And the Amiga did well, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. If Super Thunderblade sold well on console, but I remember liking it.
Right. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at this now. This looks reviewed well. Sweet.
Yeah, let's see. IGN recently gave it a 4 out of 10. Said the frame rate was too jumpy.
Too jumpy. I like the jumpy frame rates.
Jumpy. Because everyone was, you know, I guess people were spoiled by the arcade. The arcade stuff, Sega ruled that zone for a while. It was so good.
According to the Wikipedia, the game received positive reviews upon release. But in retrospect, reviews in 2000 and 2007, not so well. Citing frame rates, like you said, far too jumpy.
Yeah.
Far too jumpy.
You don't want jumpy. Jumpy's for dummies.
Get out of here.
Well done, everybody. Me and you both won.
I know. We did so good. We did good this week.
I feel good.
Welcome.
We're both winners.
Not losers, winners. We get listener feedback here on the show in the form of texts, emails, voicemails, the whole schmear. Today we're going to do an email, and I'm excited to do it for you. Here it is. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. You can also text your info, questions, thoughts, feelings to 801-471-0462. That's 801-47-10-HAMS.
10-HAMS. I like the idea of send your feelings. I think you should just send your feelings. Nothing else.
Just your feelings.
No context. Just your feelings.
Just your feelings. Your tenderest feelings. Here's an email about what we just talked about. Actually, we have two of these today.
Feeling moist.
Marcus says, just listen to your podcast on the Oregon Trail. Brought me back some nostalgia and was kind of disappointed you didn't mention the Oregon Trail, which is a zombified version of the Oregon Trail. I thought we did mention it, but apparently we did not. But that's a more modern...
I think me and you talked about it off. I think that's probably the reason why we didn't.
I think we forgot to bring it up, but it's, you know, it's just a parody game. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah, and it didn't come out until later, right?
So no, it was like really the last couple of years.
Retro world, but it's definitely worth a mention.
Yeah, Oregon Trail came out like 2018 or something. Let's see.
Right.
I can tell
What do you die from in that? The lack of liver?
But that's how you always, that's how you die. Hold on.
Right.
Let's see if I can find this. I know there's a Steam version. There it is. Oregon Trail, 2013. So it's been a bit. But
oh, wow. It's been much longer than we thought. That's 10 years, Scott.
That was 10 years ago, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yep. If you go back another
That was 10 years ago. You're
weird.
Old.
Weird. I don't like how long ago 2013 is now. That's bothersome to me. Here's one from Marcus, Mark in Wisconsin, who says, hey, Scott and Brian, long time listener. Love the Retro Game Podcast. Went back and found the Joust episode. That was the first one. Totally share your love of that game. The sound effects alone, dude. He says, YouTube served up this video series, which I found fascinating. Thought you guys might, too. Keep up the great work. Love the show, Mark in Wisconsin. So this is the Williams Joust Restoration Part 1 project. And it's basically a teardown and a rebuild of a Joust cabinet to get it in perfect working order on the account called or the channel called Overtime Arcade Restorations. And that's all they do on here is this kind of stuff. And it is awesome. This find is so cool.
I love.
So Brian linked that and freaking sub to that channel. I did.
I linked right to it. I watched some of it. It was amazing. I got to go back. There's two things I love. I love watching those cabinet restorations and I love watching retro brighting. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. What is so satisfying about watching retro brighting, stuff. It's just so much fun. That, by the way, that's to lighten up. To original colorings of on consoles and things usually.
Yeah, which is very cool. Can you take like an old PS1 that's all yellowed and, you know,
yes.
Some people smoked around it or whatever, and then you clean one of those up. It's pretty cool. Anyway, if you want to watch this restoration, I would recommend it. And I'm really glad Mark sent this to us. So thank you for that. Very cool.
Very
channel.
Good.
Once again, playretroshow@gmail.com or 801-471-0462. Our next retro discussion will be all around your favorite pinball games. Not the kind you're thinking of. Pinball games that were video games in the 80s and 90s. We're talking Pokemon Pinball, that cool Kirby one I forget the name of, but I'll remember. The Demon one,
Kirby
I forgot
Pinball.
The name of. The Balls of Steel, Duke Nukem Table, blah, blah, all this stuff. There were so many cool video game translation things that all the way up through the, I don't know, the late retro years of, let's say, Game Boy Advance, all the way back to the 80s and 90s that I adore. I prefer it over real pinball. I know that's blasphemous, but I do. I prefer video game pinball because you can do weird shit in there that you can't do on a real machine. And if the game respects physics as best it can for the platform it's on, then I'm in. I'm just in.
Scott, you've talked about him so much since we started this show, and I've never been a big electronic or video game pinball guy other than the Space Cadet one. They was that on like the Microsoft 98 Plus or something? I forget exactly which one.
If you had 98, 95 maybe even, but it was that.
Was it 95? I can't remember at this point.
You might have had to have the, not the home edition or whatever they did back then. I don't remember.
I think it was part of Plus or something. I can't remember. Anyway, I loved the crap out of that 3D pinball Space Cadet. I played it so much, and now I've got to go back. And when I started doing just a little bit of research, I was like, oh my God, this goes all the way back to like early 80s. There's even one that was from like the 70s, and I'm like, what? We're not going to talk about that one, but we are going to talk about some from the early 80s, though.
Yeah, there's some of those. There's some amazing stuff. Just to name a couple. Oh, that's weird.
What happened?
Okay, there we go. Some of my favorites just off the top of my head. Sonic Spinball is very good for the Genesis.
Yes.
We'll talk about that one, I'm sure. Let's see. Pinball Quest, amazing game. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an RPG thing. NES game, amazing. I think I really
Night Mission Pinball. I had never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Kirby's Pinball Land. That's the name of the Game Boy game. That's a great game.
Yes.
Anyway, the two Pokemon games are crazy good. Revenge of the Gators, really good. Yoshi or Devil's Crush, big deal, that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was on the TurboGrafx originally. I'm not sure on that one. Yeah, it was, I think.
Soundtrack.
Anyway, we'll talk about it all. I can't wait. This is one of my favorite subgenres of video games, so we're going to do all that next week right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, go check out our site, which is over at frogpants.com/playretro, or better yet, support us on Patreon like these new people did. Well, these aren't even new. These are just people. These are people who have been supporting us for a while, and they deserve some credit, like Nerd Cave Retro, actually another great podcast. Check those guys out.
Yes, it is. I've been on that show.
I have as well. It's awesome. Nicholas Morgan and Sean Bloom. They're just three of our many awesome people that join us over there. If you don't ever want commercials, do you want pre-show content every week? Do you want monthly benefits only available to our patrons? Well, then, boy howdy. Do I have a deal?
Yeah, you want to watch Brian just in a few days because I got my Super NES hooked up and I got the game. I got Super Ghouls and Ghosts and I'm going to curse. I'm going to try to at least get past the first level. Let's see what happens.
You guys ever want to hear him swear like a freaking sailor on fire? Now's your chance. Anyway, that's it. Go there. Be there. Help us. Patreon.com/playretro. That's going to do it for us. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.